So I really have. We're not up. Okay, I gotcha. Maybe I have you. Yeah, we're up. Bum, bum, bum. I've watched, there we go, now we're up. I've watched Tim and Kay live out their relationship with Jesus for over 20 years. And their relationship with God and their relationship with you and with me and with other people and it's really, I can't even count all the people. And so I've watched that for over 25 years, and so today, I just wanted to honor them. And so I prayed a lot about it. And it's not a surprise to most of you that know me very much. Of course, God speaks to me through Scripture. And I believe the Scripture He spoke to me through for this morning and today's service is not just for Tim and Kay. It's just like if you watch them, their lives has never been just for them. And in this scripture that I want to look at this morning, it's Matthew 4:18, and you guys know the story. It was the beginning of Jesus' walk, and it says, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. You see, as I prayed about this morning, it's like the Holy Spirit spoke to me clearly that he saw Tim and he saw Kay before they were even knit together in their mother's womb. He saw them and he didn't. That word saw there, when Jesus saw somebody, it wasn't just he noticed them. He sees right through us. He sees into the depths of who we are. And there was a time in Peter's life and Andrew's life and the other apostles when Jesus went out and there were thousands of people around and he made eye contact with that guy. He made eye contact with Peter and with Andrew, his brother, and he saw him. And you know, that day happened with Tim and Kay. They had lives, they had family, they had friends, they had everything. They weren't newborn babies, but they knew the day when Jesus said, yes, I see you. Everything changes then. And guys, I'm going to tell you, you want your life to change? Recognize when Jesus sees you. Because when he sees you, it's more than just seeing. And you know what? He sees every one of us. There was a destiny wrapped up inside of us before we were born. We're not the product of our parents' whims, the Bible says. We're not just a product of our heritage or our where we live. That's not what we're a product of. We're a product of God. And he knit you together. He designed you. And so he sees us. And I looked at that. And, you know, most of you that know Tim pretty well, Has anyone here ever heard Tim tell a story before? Has anyone in here not heard him tell a story? I know all about his family in Indiana. I know about his brothers, sisters. I know about his cousins. I know about lots of things. And when I retell the stories, they're better because I make up new stuff. Right? You know God knows your story. He knew who your family was. He knew who you were going to be raised by. He knew where you were going to go to school. God knew all of that about Tim and Kay, and he knew both of them way, way before. Way before they knew that he knew them. And I was, and God saw that, and he, you know what God did when he saw? Remember Genesis 1? God created the 7 days. He created for 6 days. He created. And every time he created something, the master engineer of the world, the master of all time created something. And he stood back and he saw it and he said it was good. Do you know that when God looked at Tim and Kay and he knew everything, he looked and he said, that's a good one right there. I think they're going to be mine. Do you know God looks at you and he sees you the same way? The first point is you got to know that God sees you. He designed you. He knit you together. You know, God knew about your family. He knew about the neighborhood you grew up in. He knew about your gifts and your inabilities and your abilities. And he looked at you. He looked you in the eye. He said, it's good. You're good. I believe that it's something that some of us need to hear today. Because, you know, we don't believe it. We judge ourselves and are judged by the world. But when God looks at you, he says, it's good. You know, everything that happened with Tay and Tim in their lives, and you know, the hard things, the easy things, the blessings, the brokenness, all of those things God designed and he used for his purposes, and it made them who they are and who we've all experienced for the last however long you've known them. It was a part of their lives that brought them to that place. And so, you know, I remember they all shaped us into who we are right now. Who you are right now is a culmination of all the experiences that you've had and your friends have had and that's in your life up until this point. And God's staying and he's looking at you right now and he's saying you're good. And he's looking at you. Now, I remember a lot of Tim's stories, and I got busted this morning when his friend Gary Snyder walked in, because I was going to tell a Gary Snyder story because it's very funny and it really tells you Tim and Gary's personality. Well, Gary, I'm going to go ahead and describe it as if Gary's not sitting there looking at me. Gary was Tim's friend for years, his best friend a lot of ways, and Gary's one of those guys whose arms are the size of my legs. Y'all know what I mean? It's like his neck was like bigger than my waist, and he was this big, strong guy. Like, Tim's strong, but not compared to Gary. And Tim and Gary are stationed overseas. And I don't remember which time, his Desert Storm, which place. And Tim was a pretty smooth guy. He could dance. Y'all know guys that can dance? It's like, I think that Mickey told him, you and Kay met at a dance, right? And Mickey was there. I think he was trying to dance with Kay or Karen or somebody, her sister. But Gary's just a good old boy. He doesn't know how to dance. Well, they're overseas, and they're at a base with, you know, 10,000 men and two women. And so they have these dances, but there's no women. And so Gary doesn't know how to dance. And so Tim wants to teach Gary how to dance. Gary wants to learn how to dance because they're going to come back home, and Gary will need to know how to dance so he can be slick like Tim. And so, hey, Jared, I just saw you. And so I wasn't there. Okay, I didn't serve. I wasn't in the service. But Tim and Gary are talking about, and so Tim's like, well, come on, Gary, they're playing music. We can do I don't even know the names of those dances where couples dance with. okay, Texas two-step, yeah. You know, when girls and guys dance together, there's dances. And so they're playing a song. And, of course, nobody's dancing. And Tim's like, come on, Gary, let's go out and dance. I'll teach you how. And Gary's like, I'm not dancing in front of these 500 men. And Tim's like, listen, Gary. Tim's a good salesman, right? He's real logical. He thinks. He's like, listen, Gary, only two things can happen. One is you can learn how to dance, which means you'll get a girl when you get back home. Or two, we'll get in a fight. Win-win. And Gary's like, yeah. And so they danced. They wrapped their arms around each other, cheek to cheek, and they danced. And that you didn't get in a fight, did you, Gary? No. No. Who was going to fight those two? It's like, are you stupid? No. But I remember those stories. And I think about all of our past. And a lot of us know a lot of Tim's past. And a lot of times he tells things in a very humorous way, right? I mean, I'm the funny one, but he tells stories really good. And he tells stories and you laugh. But there's so much pain and intrigue in most of his stories. You know, just like you. A lot of us have had a lot of pain. They're funny now. It wasn't so funny then. I tell stories about when I was a kid and I would do things and I'd lose my temper. And it's like, you know what? That wasn't funny when I was a kid. It hurt deep inside of me. You know, my nickname, it was so funny. My nickname when I was a kid was Gooford. And that somebody called me Gooford and it was an instant fist fight. Or whatever weapon I could get my hands on, because I usually got beat up because I was so little and weak. And it's funny, ha, ha, ha. No, it wasn't funny. And I think our lives are like that. And when you look at what happened, and not a Tim's stories and Kay's stories, you know, when you have life, it hurts. But I want to tell you, God sees you. And you're not, your life isn't dictated by your past, by your parents, by your culture, by your physical limitations. God isn't limited by any of that. God saw Tim and Kay. And when I read this passage, because I read this, because you see, I think of this thought in Scripture. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are way above our thoughts. And I look at my life and your life and people's lives, I'm like, God, I wish they hadn't have had to live through that. And God says, oh, so you don't like my child? Like, no, God, no, I didn't say that. He said, who they are, what they lived through made them who they are today. And they have a purpose and a destiny. And you and I don't think that way. We want everybody to have the perfect life. And we don't. But God has something planned for every one of us. Every one of us. And so then, Jesus was there on the lake, and it's amazing. He's there, and there's probably hundreds and hundreds of people around, and he's looking at the brothers in that boat, along with all these other boats, and he's watching them. That's The Chosen, the movie The Chosen. That's Peter in The Chosen. And something about Peter drew his attention. When Tim and Kay, they were married, raising kids, they had friends, some good friends, some not so good friends, and they had life. Tim was passionate about his job. He was advancing and successful in the military. They have life. But God made eye contact with him and said, I want that one. I want you. And then he says this amazing thing to every single one of us. He said to Tim and Kay, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I mean, I remember stories. I remember. And I'm like, God, you did it. You see, God said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And then when you read the rest of that passage, and it says, they immediately left their lifestyle, their culture, their way of thinking. They left the world's way of man succeeds by hard work, man succeeds by their abilities and their forcefulness and their determination. That's the world they lived in. And Jesus said, drop all that. Drop your family's inheritance. Drop the way you talk. Drop the way you think. Listen, up until this time, I mean, I actually didn't know Tim at that time, but I know a lot of hard-driven, passionate people. And you know what the truth is? I was one of those people. And you know what? I was selfish. Yeah, I wanted to advance. And if I had to step on you to do it, of course, I was tricky. I didn't want you to know I was stepping on you. You see, that's the way the world is. But now God has said, follow me. Jesus said, follow me. Give up the ways of the world. And follow me, follow my ways, follow my thoughts. I don't think like men think. I say the first is last. I say the one who serves is the king, the head. And you see, when Jesus said that to Tim and Kay said yes. And actually, I don't know the facts, but I know that Tim was up for another promotion. And if he would have just stayed in a few more months, he would have gotten a whole nother level of retirement income and promotion in the military. He could have easily have done it. But I remember it, and I don't even know if, I know you told me about it, Tim, or Ted did, or somebody, but you said no to the next step because you wanted to follow Jesus immediately, and you did. Guys, there's no better life than following Him. And you have to follow Him when He asks you to follow Him. Because He has a plan for you, and He's going to work that plan out. You see, God doesn't look at our circumstances. And you know who He's looking for? Driven people, hurting people, people that take the bull by the horns. He's looking for people. And that's who Andrew and Peter were. They were successful businessmen. They had inherited their dad's business. They were going for it. And then this crazy Galilean comes up and says, "You guys drop everything and follow me." And Jesus didn't have anything. He didn't even have a place to lay his head at night. He didn't have anything. But they knew there was something special about him. When Jesus calls you, it's better than anything the world has to offer. You know, and then if you follow him, guess what? He's going to make you a fisher of men. Because that's what he's about. And it doesn't mean you have to be one now. He's the one who makes you a fisher of men. It's him. And he made Peter and Andrew and all the other disciples fishers of men. And these guys that were always arguing about who's first and who's the greatest and who's going to be the king, they all became servants. And they impacted the world. To this day, there's over 2 billion followers of Jesus Christ on the planet today that came out of these 11 guys. You see, and it's funny, when I first saw Tim, I saw Tim and Kay become fishers of men instantly. I saw them reach out. I lost count after 30 or some 40. How many of Tim's family did you lead to the Lord? Kay, how many in your family came to the Lord? I can't even count them. Just instantly started happening. Then I saw young men and young women, broken people, instantly Tim and Kay would open their home up and invite them in. And I mean, you know, this luncheon today is, luncheon's food. Food's a big deal to Kay. But it's not for her eating pleasure. She serves people at meals. And I can't tell you how many people Kay has served in the last 25 years. You see, it's about men and women. And instantly, I saw Tim begin to become a fisher of men. I saw young men who didn't have a dad come to Tim. I saw young men who had dads come to Tim. I saw couples who were broken and their lives and marriages were destroyed come to Tim and Kay, and God would put their marriages back together over a meal, sometimes lots of meals. You see, God said he was going to make Tim a fisher of men, and he did. And they've been fishing for 25 plus years, since day one. I remember one of the first people Tim led to the Lord. I didn't really think it would stick, but I'll tell you the story. He had this really good friend that he would slow dance with overseas called Gary Snyder, who's sitting two chairs over from him. Actually, yeah, three chairs over. Mickey, you're no better. You're the same way, so don't be laughing, right? But Gary was with Tim and knew Tim and was best friends before Tim knew the Lord. Like they were doing, like fighting was fun for them before they knew the Lord. After they knew the Lord, they'd fight if they had to, but they don't like it anymore, I think. But, and so Gary, this Tim meets the Lord, and you can see an instant change in life come into Tim that he's never had. He's always been Mr. Party Man. I don't mean party in a bad way. I mean, he just carries a party where he goes, but there, that's right, straighten your children up. I didn't mean that. I meant this way. But the truth is, when Tim met the Lord, something changed about him. And Gary, being the big, strong Gary and very manly, one day he said, "Tim, you're going to lead me to the Lord." And so I don't remember who was driving. I think Gary was driving. Gary says, "Tim, you're going to lead me to the Lord." And Tim said, "Well, I can't lead you to the Lord. We're not at church." Because, you know, you think that's where it has to happen, you know. "And we're not at church. I can't do it." And Gary, Tim had never led anybody to the Lord, right? You have to get him to tell you the story. It's funnier coming from Tim. But, and so Gary tells Tim, "Well, I'm not getting out of this truck until you lead me to the Lord." Well, Tim can't get him out either. It's like, shoot. And so Tim actually says, "Okay, Gary, pray after me. Close your eyes, say I'm a sinner." I don't remember exactly what you said. It was sort of funny. But it worked. I can't believe it. 25 years later, or 30 almost, Gary's still a Christian. Go figure. You instantly become, if you follow Jesus, you instantly start looking for lost, broken people. And you begin to invest your life in them over and over and over. And if we had a dollar for every time Tim and Kay have invested in people, we would be. You see, that's what we are. If you're going to follow Jesus, he has one purpose. Remember the parable of the lost coin, the lost son, the lost sheep? Jesus is looking for his lost people that he cares for, he loves. And I want to tell you, God, if you follow him, God wants you to find the lost. So I saw that. I saw so many people's lives change through Tim's life and Kay's life over the years. And it really isn't. And that when God calls you, you have to make a decision. Are you going to stay the way you were, or are you going to let God change you? Because God has a different way of thinking. He sees people and he loves them. He's not selfish. He's not self-promoting. He says the greatest is a servant of all. You see, God has a way of living. And we get to, you know, it's funny. I wanted to play the Chosen's theme song, the fish sleeping in the water. And he talks a lot. God often talked about water. And we did a baptism not too long ago. And in the baptism, special, amazing things happened because people left things in the water when they got baptized. You know what? If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to leave stuff in the water. You know, things like, I'm not good enough. Prejudice, bigotry, selfishness. You know, those negative things in our world, you're going to have to leave those in the water. You being number one, you have to leave that in the water. You believing those lies that the enemy speaks about you all the time. You're dumb. You're ugly. You're stupid. You're no good. You're less than. That it doesn't. You got to leave that all in the water. And when you do that, God starts moving. So I saw that. I saw Tim and Kay both leave it in the water when they started following the Lord. Lots of things. Y'all don't know this because you don't know this, Kay. I knew this, Kay. She used to be the nicest, quietest mouse you've ever met. Just a mouse. Wouldn't hurt a flea. You'd never even know she's there. Quiet. And then she left that Kay in the water. And I remember when she got prophesied to her, Kay, you're not a mouse, you're a lion. I remember that. And she began to be a lion and roar. And, you know, I saw this happen. And I saw Tim always had amazing gifting. Tim, you did. You could ask the people who competed with you for the job in the military. Some of them still hate you, I think. But, I mean, that's not your fault. That's their fault. But gifting is good. Your gifting is good. Your natural gifting, your natural abilities, it's all good. But I want to tell you, until you leave those natural things in the water, you'll never experience the supernatural life of God that he has for you. You see, you have to leave everything when you follow him. And Jesus is calling us to come to that place. And with Tim and Kay's resignation, and some of you read his letter, he really is, his heart is to pass the baton to the next generation. You see, that would be our greatest goal as fathers, is to see your children and your children's children and your children's children's children following the Lord. Guys, we have a destiny. You see, I think a lot of times we think it's the end. When Jesus says, follow me, and you say yes, that's not the end of your life. That's just the beginning. And I believe today, as an example, one of the great things that would happen, and we're going to honor Tim and Kay, and we're going to have a luncheon, we're going to do that, but you really want to honor him? Start following Jesus today. Like, I heard a story today about a man who was gifted and talented, but he experienced supernatural life when he followed Jesus, way beyond his own strength. God wants to do something in you that the world has never seen before, in me and all of us. And it starts with following Jesus. And that's the beginning, not the end. So this morning, this supernatural life is really what it's all about. I want us to come together and say, you know what? When I hear him, when I lock eyes with him, I like that the term that the scripture used. He saw two brothers. But that wasn't just glance saw them. That's a deeper meaning. You see, Jesus sees you. When you see him looking at you and you respond, your life's going to change. Things will never be the same again. So I'm excited about this next part of Tim's journey, you know. I mean, people around here, we're not into retirement. He's just passing the baton. He's not quitting. It's not stopping. It's going on. And I believe it's really true. And so this morning, we're just want to honor them and say thank you. 1,000 thank yous wouldn't even cover every sacrifice y'all have made for people here at Grace Fellowship. And so I don't know. Look, I got myself flowers. Not true. Tim and Kay, would you come up here? We want to give you, this is just such a small thing, but it is what we mean. Because during the luncheon, we want to give everyone a chance to share your love and appreciation for Tim and Kay. But together, we got you flowers, Kay. This is for you. And this other thing, Tim, we got you something, right? Here it is. I just found it. This is for date nights because we know how important those are to you. And so and they'll involve Kay.
Yeah.
So, Tim, you got nothing. Kay got everything except for you get to go with her.
Right.
All right. And you don't have to fight anybody now. So let's all stand up and let's just stretch our hands at Tim and Kay because at the luncheon, you get a chance to speak verbally in front of all of us, your appreciation and love for them. And we just want to pray for them, for their life and what's going to happen from now on out, right? So God, I just thank you for what you're doing, for your life and your, Jesus, I just believe that Tim and Kay, you called them the same way you called Peter and Andrew. And God, I just thank you for the thousands of touches that we've all experienced through them. Lord, for every time, sleepless night, every phone call, every broken thing that they placed their hands on and that you've blessed us through their lives, God. So God, we just speak more to them. Lord, I ask that song we sang, the blessing song, would multiply in their lives through their natural and their spiritual children. God, for all of us, every one of us that have experienced life through them, we just thank you, God. And we ask that you would multiply back to them 1,000 times over what they've meant to all of us. God, we just thank you. And God, I thank you for everybody who's prepared the meal this afternoon and everybody's going to share. God, just help us to be your hands and your voice this afternoon with Tim and Kay. We just praise you, God, and we just thank you. Amen. Okay, God bless you guys. Yes, yeah, I was going to say, you can do. Can't stop. For 25 years, Tim has carried this part of us because he does this so well. I don't do this well, but I mean it. And so thank you guys for being here. We'll be going around that hallway to get to the food, and we want everyone to stay. So even if you don't know them, you can get to know them by, you'll hear stories that are probably funny, and they're going to be meaningful too. Okay? God bless you guys. You're dismissed.